Hello, it is the top of the hour, and I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. This lesson may resonate with you because we're talking about what you can do when you are too busy to plan. Now, for this lesson, I think it'd be a good idea for you to have a pencil or pen and a piece of paper, because during the lesson, I've got an assignment that I want to give you, and I want you to be able to take action immediately. Now, if you don't have that right now in front of you, go ahead and get ready now to take some notes as we're getting into the lesson, because this is going to be a practical lesson that you can put into use right away, and even by the time we're done with this lesson, you're going to get a set of actions out of this that I think are going to be valuable for you. Now, I know that not everybody learns the way I learn, and that's okay, but I have found that taking notes with a pen and paper is a really powerful thing. It helps me remember things. Now, I tried switching to electronic notes a long time ago, and I eventually switched back to handwritten notes, and here's why. What I found was that, and this is what the research shows, that people can type faster than they can write, and often what we strive to do when we're typing is we strive to transcribe what the speaker is saying. We're trying to catch every single word. But when we're taking notes, we can't write that fast. And so what we end up doing is we end up having to summarize, having to analyze, having to dial in on what the speaker was saying. And as a result, the quality of our notes goes up because our thinking is at a higher order. Also, the muscles required for writing are different from the muscles required for typing, and that changes the way your brain locks into that stuff. But use whatever system works best for you. But during this lesson, you're going to need something to write with and something to write on. So go ahead and scramble around and find that right now while we're getting started. Now, Lead Yourself First is your system. It's the system you've picked to help yourself grow. It's your way of being sure that you're choosing to consistently invest in yourself by making time for your ongoing development. And John Maxwell teaches about what he calls the law of intentionality. Growth doesn't just happen. And by being a part of this program, you are paying the price to grow, and that really matters. Other folks right now might be watching YouTube or killing time on social media, but not you. You're thinking about growth, and that is something you're not going to regret. Now, before we jump into the meat of this lesson, I always like to ask, how are you going to act when this is over? What is something from today's lesson you can apply? What's something you might want to change? And what's something you can teach? And remember, teaching is about being a river, not a reservoir. You're sharing what you're learning as you're learning it. We're not trying to arrive. We're on a growth journey, and we're just sharing what we're learning. Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson, and I look forward to it because, as I mentioned recently, I find I wish I was less busy, and strangely enough, I also find that I wish I could get more done. And we're all busy, and I guess that we're often too busy to even plan. In fact, I would go a little farther. I frequently will say that I think people are too busy to even think, and that is ultimately to your detriment. Now, over the next few minutes, we're going to talk about some very practical ideas about planning and getting some things done. It's useful. It's valuable. If you'll do this, you are going to see successes. I promise you that. You'll see major improvements in the results you get. And that's the power of this program, Lead Yourself First. And I know for you, you might want a way to get some help applying some of these things. And at the end of today's lesson, I'm going to share with you a way to do that. Fair enough? So let's jump in. Too busy to plan. You ever feel that way? Man, I certainly do. As I think about this, and I'm not a natural planner, by the way. I for many, many years in my life, I would kind of show up and throw up. I would try and wing it whenever I would get someplace. And that's not always a good idea. In fact, it often can lead to some difficulty. But one of my favorite quotes on planning is from former President Dwight Eisenhower. He was the man who was responsible for overseeing the largest land invasion in world history. He had lots and lots of things that needed to be planned in order to be successful. And here's what Eisenhower said. He said, "In preparing for battle, I have always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable." Eisenhower said, in preparing for battle, I've always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable. Now, think about, why do we plan? What is it that helps you? What is it the planning process helps you with? Because when we think about the things we need, it helps us realize what we don't need. And I want to take a few minutes and talk about the things that we don't need. In 1906, there was an economist in Italy by the name of Vilfredo Pareto, and he noticed that 80% of the land in Italy was owned by 20% of the people. And that's where we get this concept of the Pareto principle, or the 80-20 rule, you may have heard it called. And fundamentally, the idea is that 80% of many things tends to be managed by 20% of things. And so this, I think, can apply to our planning process as well. In fact, it probably applies to the reason that you feel overwhelmed and busy. Maybe, is it possible that 80% of the results that you're trying to accomplish in your life come from a small number of things? You think about the things that are on your to-do list. Some of those feel really good to get done because you feel like you're making progress, and other things, you feel like you're just kind of turning the crank. You're not actually delivering the value that you need. And maybe what's happening is that if you could put more attention on the small number of things that are getting you the biggest return, you'd get more value. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's talk about productivity first. I mean, when we feel like we're really busy, we need to amp up our productivity, right? Well, do you know the best thing you can do to improve your speed and your accuracy? The best thing you can do to improve your productivity, it's to slow down and do less. I've got a friend who is into sailing and performance sailing, and he says, slow is smooth and smooth is fast. That when you slow down and you make your movements and the work that you do smooth, you increase your speed. And I think that's right. In lean manufacturing and agile software development, we talk about limiting work in progress to one item at a time. If we only work on one item at a time, it's WIP, work in progress. And why do we do only one thing until it's done? Why can't we multitask? Well, the science is totally clear on this. When we try to focus on more than one thing at a time, it causes a 40% drop in productivity, a 40% drop. If you are trying to work while you're being distracted by calls or emails, your IQ drops by 10 points. It's the equivalent of missing a night's sleep, and it's twice as bad as trying to work while you're smoking pot. It's a big deal. Every time you stop and restart, it costs you efficiency. Those interruptions are very, very expensive. They are keeping you from delivering the value you need to do. And this is all over the place. I mean, the average employee loses 2.1 hours a day to interruptions or distractions. Now, in a 2,000-hour work year, that's 540 hours a year. That's almost 25% of your total productivity is sucked up into interruptions or distractions. If you can find a way to reduce your work in progress, you will very quickly increase your performance. Fewer distractions, more focus. So let's talk for a moment about what can get in the way of your planning. Well, when I often talk to people about this, because it's a passion project for me to talk about what do you do when you're too busy to plan, people tell me some common things. Here's some things that I hear. I just don't have any time. I got too many things to do. Or I've got too much pressure. People interrupt me with emergencies that prevent me from making progress. They'll say, my plans get blown up by my boss, so I've learned not to bother making plans at all. Well, we know from what Eisenhower said that planning is indispensable, even if your plans get blown up. And his stuff literally did get blown up by U-boats and by munitions and other things. So, you know, we have to think about that. Now, you might be a business owner, you might not be a business owner, but regardless of whether you own a business, you're selling you every day at work. You are selling you every day at work. And I want to talk about the difference between working in your business and working on your business. Now, the concept's pretty simple. When you're working in the business, there was a commercial series years ago for Dunkin' Donuts where there was a guy who would say, "Time to make the donuts," and he'd go in and he'd work on cranking out as many donuts as he possibly could because he was a donut guy and that's what he did. But the problem with working in your business is that every day is pretty much like every other day. Each day has the same crank that's got to get turned. Working in the business is repeating processes you put in place yesterday or before yesterday. It can be effective to have clarity on exactly what needs to be done, but it also means that you're not taking advantage of innovation and change. I've got a client who has his team executing a process they created a long time ago, and a couple of times a week they have to follow a checklist that's hundreds of items long, and if each item is not done exactly right and in the right sequence, the whole process fails. They're killing themselves by working in the business. Now, in contrast to working in the business, working on the business is spending time thinking about how your business should run. If your day was perfectly organized, how would your day be organized? How should your work go? Making that time to evaluate what you do and, more importantly, why you do it can really lead to innovation and performance improvement. For that client that's got that long checklist of things they have to work on over and over again, there have been many improvements over the years in the tools that can automate complex processes. And if it was actually automated, it would save the team a ton of time and energy. But it takes time and energy to redesign the process, so they've just been living with the old process. And what's worse than that is nobody ever yells at you for not making time to plan. They yell at you for not delivering some task, but they don't yell at you about planning. When has planning ever had a serious deadline? So in this lesson, we've talked about limiting work in progress to reduce your multitasking and improve your performance. And we've talked about how sometimes we have to be intentional to make time to make things better by thinking about what are we doing and why are we doing it. Now, I want to spend a couple of minutes in this lesson talking about goals. Unfortunately, I do not have at my command the time to cover the science of goal setting with you in this lesson, but I want to share a secret about achievement. Have you ever wondered whether it might be important to write down clear and specific goals? I want to brace yourself for some numbers because I think they're going to blow you away. In the book, What They Don't Teach You in Harvard Business School, Mark McCormick cited a study that in 1979, they studied graduates of Harvard's business school with an MBA. And 84% of those graduates in 1979 had no specific goals. Now, I find that astonishing. Here are people who have gone to Harvard, one of the best schools in the U.S., and they have they've achieved completion of a master's in business administration. These people are hard workers. They're people who get things done, and yet 84% of them had no goals. 13% of them had goals, but they hadn't written them down. They weren't committed to paper. And 3%, just 3%, had clear and specific and written goals. Now, this same group of Harvard graduates was interviewed again 10 years later in 1989, and the results were staggering. The 13% that had goals that weren't written down, remember I said 84% had no goals and 13% had some goals but they weren't written down, that group that had some goals that weren't written down, on average were making 2 times as much money as the 84%. And what about that 3%, that tiny percentage of people that had clear and specific and written goals? This blew me away. That they were earning on average 10 times as much as the other 97. 10 times as much by having clear and specific written goals. If you will write down clear and specific goals, it will improve your performance. Period. So now we know we need to plan, and we just don't have time. Well, I want to cover something I learned from Brian Tracy that I think you'll find very useful. It's called the quick list method, and here is exactly what we're going to do. Remember I told you at the beginning of the lesson that I wanted you to pull out a piece of paper, and I told you that we were going to come up with a way that was going to help you during this lesson. Well, here is exactly how that works. What we're going to do is we're going to take 30 seconds to write down 3 goals. And don't worry, you don't have to show your goals to anybody else. And look, we're all so self-absorbed, we're not going to think about you. We're thinking about ourselves. So here we go. I want you to take that paper that you have in front of you, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds right now to write down your goals. And the powerful thing about this method is that it's just as reliable as if I gave you 30 minutes or 3 hours or 3 days. So go ahead. 30 seconds starting now. Go. Five seconds. All right, stop. So what is on your list? I'll guess here. You wrote down a health goal, a relationship goal, and a financial goal, right? That's what most people do. But now we have our big picture goals identified. You know what you want, but we know it takes more than knowledge, because knowledge isn't enough. I mean, every smoker knows that smoking is bad for them. They still smoke. If it was just about knowledge, I'd be skinny. We all know eating less and exercising just a little bit more than we do would mean we'd be in better health, and yet, well, we don't do it. So what is the key to really changing behavior? Well, it turns out that there's a few factors. One is, why do I want to change? Another is, how do I do it? You know, why is it important for me to be more fit? How do I actually go about doing that? The next one is having the willpower to change, or the guilt for not changing. I don't know. What are the drivers? What takes more than knowledge? And I think that's the question that we've wrestled with. How do we get people to start to change? And the experts tell us these things. One, change is hard. None of us likes change. We don't like it at all. So to form an intent to change, you have to know why. Why do you want to change? And here's the painful reality. What you're doing right now, it's paying off for you. It's working. So why do you want to change? It's working. Now, you might say, I'm not getting the results I want. Well, based on results, you are. You're doing the things that are working for you, and for some reason, you're not willing to change those things. So we have to know that we want to change. And then we have to intend to make a change, and then we need the opportunity to change. And many times people make big promises to themselves about what they're going to do. But look at the list you put together. What are you going to do? The way to get from where you are to where you want to be is straightforward. Baby steps. Baby steps are the answer. I'm not talking about a couch potato swearing they're going to hit the gym 5 times a week. And doing that overnight, that just doesn't happen. People don't have that kind of willpower generally. The magic is when you begin to make minor changes to the things that you're doing. A few years ago, Darren Hardy wrote a book called The Compound Effect. It's the process by which we make small changes and we build on that small progress every day. And it's the key principle behind Lead Yourself First. That's the investment that you're making each week over time is going to lead you to amazing progress. So as we're getting ready to land the plane on today's lesson, I'm going to leave you with a practical exercise. And the exercise has two parts. One you're going to do today as soon as this lesson is over, and one you're going to do tomorrow. So, first one. You have three big goals written down on your page. Your homework is to take a few minutes after this lesson and just spend 5 minutes on each of those three goals. So 15 minutes total, you're going to identify three tiny, and I mean tiny things you need to do to make those a reality in the next year. We're not talking about 100 things to do. We're not talking about 10 things to do. We're not talking about three big things to do. We're talking about the tiniest possible steps you can take that would move you in the direction of your goal. Now, if you do that, you're going to expand those three goals into three smaller parts, three baby steps per goal. That's a total of 9 items, right? Here's the thing. When you get that clear in your mind and you get it written down, it does something amazing. I don't have time to talk about the brain science behind it, but it works. So exercise one is that 15 minutes of going through each of those items and writing down three tiny baby steps that you can do. And exercise two starts tomorrow, and it's even easier than exercise one was. Grab a notebook, go to a blank page, and write down the 9 things. That's it. Just write them down. Do that every day for the next 30 days, and in a month, I want you to send me an email to tell me about what you've accomplished. You'll be amazed. This process of copying down those things, it doesn't take very long, maybe 2 minutes a day. It leads to incredible results. So it's almost time for your personal action plan. You've really probably already created it, right? So we talked about how we slow down to go faster, how we do just one thing at a time. We limit our work in progress. We talked about the importance of planning. We talked about working on the business, not just in the business, and setting clear, specific, written goals, and then taking baby steps. So maybe you're with your team and you want to talk about team goals for the next couple of minutes. That's a good idea. But don't miss out on the homework I've assigned you. Now, for those of you who might be interested in learning more or spending some more time on this, I've got a Too Busy to Plan coaching package. It's focused on helping you not only set those specific goals, but also to work productively toward achieving them. We connect once a month for the next 4 months for a coaching session. You create your action plan, you publish your action plan, and you track progress towards your goals. The cost for this is $199, and in these 4 sessions, you're going to build momentum toward achievement. You're going to be surprised at how productive you're going to be. You'll get started. You'll be in that habit of making progress that's going to lead to surprising accomplishments. Sound interesting? Drop me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thanks for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I'm going to look forward to talking to you next time.